Atlantis ISS, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Yes. We're ready for the event.
JSC PAO, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Atlantis ISS for a voice check.
Atlantis ISS, this is Johnson Space Center PAO. How do you hear me?
Hello, Johnson Space Center. We have you loud and clear on the International Space Station.
Good morning. This is Eric Berger with Houston Chronicle. Congratulations on such a great mission so far. There's been a lot of talk about last during this flight, and I want to ask about a first. Specifically, do any of the crew members of Atlantis plan to stick around with NASA to fly on the MPCV, or is that something that is a bit too far in the future? Thank you.
Well, I think if you asked any one of us, we would love a shot at flying another vehicle. So definitely, and we've got opportunities prior to that. You know, we've got multiple flights to the International Space Station. We're going to crew this beautiful complex for the next 10 years plus. So there's plenty of opportunities to fly, and I don't see any reason why not stay and see what happens. It's a real bright future.
Good morning, Ted Oberg from Channel 13 here in Houston. Great to talk with you guys. I'm curious, what have you done in your downtime on this mission to make sure that you capture some of these last moments? What things have you made sure you saw out the windows or done with the shuttle? Tell us a little bit about how you've spent your downtime.
Well, for me, I had a chance to look out the cupola, where it's a great window, and we can see the aurora australis, the southern lights. We all kind of crowded around and got to see that, and just savoring every minute of floating in space. And then once in a while, when you're on Atlantis, at the end of the day, you kind of look around the middeck and think of all the guys and women who were there before you and who had a part in the space program, and you think, wow, this is the last flight. So it does cross your mind once in a while.
Good morning. This is John Donnelly with Fox 26 here in Houston also, and I'm passing along a question from one of our viewers. She wants to know, what will the astronauts be able to take from the last trip, and will you have a job when you get back on Earth?
Oh, absolutely. Johnson Space Center, although we're reaching the end of the space shuttle program, is still a vibrant place to work. There'll be a transitional period here as we hand over a lot of the responsibilities for going to low Earth orbit to our commercial providers. But this is an opportunity for us to look beyond low Earth orbit and perhaps back to the moon or to an asteroid where we'd like to travel to soon. So there'll be plenty of work in the Houston area.
Good morning, Mark Caro from Aviation Week, and my question's for Sandy. Could you describe for us the pace of the activities the past week and just what it will take to wrap up the restow before you undock? Thanks.
Well, Mark, the pace has been very, very busy. Just right when we hit orbit, doing post-insertion with four people was really challenging. We were working really hard right up to bedtime. We had a little bit on flight day two, but since we docked the station, we've been working quite a bit. I think we're getting ahead now, so hopefully the rest of the pace of the mission will slow down a bit and we can actually savor the moment a little bit more than we've been able to until now.
Hi, morning. This is Denise Chow at space.com. My question is for Commander Chris Ferguson. Having the opportunity to fly in space and spend time on the ISS, you and your crewmates have a unique perspective of our planet. And for those of us on Earth, I was wondering what message you would have for why it's important to continue exploration, particularly manned exploration beyond low Earth orbit.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, first of all, you really don't get a firm appreciation for just what a fantastic place it is until you've had an opportunity to look out of the cupola. Just over the last couple nights, we've had some incredibly dramatic passes that have that showed the southern lights, just a vibrant green color. There was a tremendous picture taken last night with a silhouette of the International Space Station and the space shuttle in the background. And there is, I'll tell you, there's a little part of everybody who looks at something like that and says, I cannot believe we're here. This is absolutely fantastic. We absolutely must continue this. And we must go beyond, and we must go back to lunar orbit and perhaps to an asteroid. We need to continue pushing on. We need to press technology. And, you know, humans are destined to explore, and this is what we do, and we need to continue.
Gina Sinceri, ABC News for Mike Fossum. Mike, we thought we heard you trying to whistle before your spacewalk on Tuesday. Tell me a little bit about that and why you couldn't whistle. And then when you're done, I'd like you to whistle a tune for me.
I'll pass the second half of your question to my spacewalk buddy, Ron Guerin. Ron and I were both doing a little whistling in the airlock. It's just one of the strange phenomena where as the pressure is dropping in the airlock, our suit is just a little over 4 pounds of pressure. And once this air pressure inside the airlock goes down to zero, then your overall pressure is down low. And I think it has to do with the density of the air, but I really can't explain a lot about the resonant frequency of the cavity of your mouth as you're blowing the air through it like that. And so it's kind of interesting. We can all whistle, Ron will do the tune. But as it's one of the things that you can physically use to just take a look and appreciate the fact that that things are changing. You can feel the air that you're breathing in is different. It's a lower density, and you can tell that. We have a card, kind of a procedure card in the airlock, and you can wave that back and forth. And as you do, you can feel less resistance on it as the air pressure is dropping. The whistling is just something else to have a little fun with while you try not to think about what's going on.
Now Ron's got a whistle.
This is Jill Tolk representing Bay Area Houston Magazine. A two-part question for Fergie and Ron. Since each of you has connections to Pennsylvania, what personal Earth obs of that state have each of you made during your respective flights? And Fergie, have you seen the east coast of Australia through the cupola yet?
Oh, gosh, Jill. First of all, how are you doing? I wish we had enough time to look out the window. We did catch a little look at the Philadelphia-New York area. We passed over there. I think it was the evening of flight day two, and we had a chance to look out. And have we passed off the east coast of Australia? Yes, absolutely we have, and I think that's one of the opportunities we have to take a look at the southern lights, but I really didn't have an opportunity to do a whole lot of coastal searching, if you will, to find out exactly where we were. And I'll turn it over to Ron.
Well, Sasha and Andre and I have been here 101 days today, but who's counting? And so we've had a lot of opportunities to look out the window, a lot of opportunities to see our unbelievably beautiful Earth. And yes, I've had the opportunity to see Pennsylvania. I've taken some pictures of one of my favorite places in the world, where I spent the happiest day of my life over 20 years ago, getting married in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So I've definitely have some great pictures of that area of Pennsylvania, that really beautiful area of Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Robert Perlman with CollectSpace.com with a question for Rex. There's a tradition among shuttle crews to leave their mark, their mission patch, on various walls of the space station. Can you share where you and your crewmates plan to leave your emblem, and will you be adding any other commemorative mementos or emblems to signify this is the last space shuttle to visit the ISS?
Yes, they do have a place where we leave the patches and our stickers, and we're going to leave our patch probably in Node 1, and we should leave a sticker in the airlock because we consider ourselves one big team here with the shuttle and the station, and we all executed the spacewalk. It was Mike and Ron, the great guys who went outside and did that spacewalk, but we all helped them, and so we'd like to put one of our mission stickers in the airlock. In regards to other things that we're leaving up here, I'll let Fergie, if you have any other additions.
Yes, we do have a special item we're going to leave behind in what hopefully is a very thought-provoking and emotional farewell ceremony that we have as the space shuttle prepares to leave the International Space Station for the final time. And I would just ask you to perhaps hold on until that moment. You'll get a look at what we have in store.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes questions from the Johnson Space Center. Please stand by for a voice check from Kennedy Space Center, PAO.
Atlantis ISS, this is Kennedy Space Center, PAO. How do you hear me?
Hello, Kennedy Space Center. We have you loud and clear.
Magazine. I was wondering if you could highlight some of the scientific experiments that you're working on the International Space Station that you think will particularly inspire the public back here on Earth.
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, we've had a permanent human presence on the International Space Station for over a decade now, and over that time we've conducted over 600 scientific experiments. And you know, one of the things that we're trying to do is to see how humans can go further in exploration, go beyond Earth orbit, explore our solar system. But nearly all of the experiments that we conduct have a direct application on Earth, from growing crops better to making new materials, new medicines. We had some very significant research in the development of a vaccine for Salmonella, studying our Earth, learning how learning about the human impact on the environment, how the inner core of the Earth works, and possibly lead to better ways to predict earthquakes, better safe automobile safety, better energy efficiency, fuel efficiency. So the list goes on and on and on. It's just amazing the research that's being conducted up here, and that's because this is a very, very unique environment. The research that's being conducted up here simply cannot be done anywhere else in the world, and so that's why this is such an important research facility, and this is really a global asset, the International Space Station.
Hi, Ken Kramer from Space Flight Magazine and Rittenhouse Astronomical Society. My question is for Chris and your crew. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the science that you've personally seen going on at the space station. Anything about the AMS? Can you see the AMS from the cupola at all? And any interaction with the Robonaut? Thank you.
Absolutely. We had a great opportunity, Ken, to see it out the window. As a matter of fact, on the first EVA, the only EVA, Ron and went out there to put another payload and had an opportunity to take a loop around it, and we had a chance to watch them out the window. So it's out there, and we understand it's just doing fantastic science.
Stephen Young with SpaceFlightNow.com for Commander Ferguson. There's a public perception that your flight not only represents the end of the shuttle program, but the end of the U.S. manned space program. Do you have any fears at all that your crew might be the last astronauts to blast off from American soil?
Well, Stephen, I'll tell you, no doubt that this is a very dynamic time in human spaceflight as the space shuttle draws to a close without a real clear picture of how the next U.S. astronauts will get there. But rest assured that there are plans underway. We'll be slowly transitioning to commercial companies. And while it's a little, you know, personally disheartening to see the shuttle come, we understand that, you know, sometimes you need to stop working on what you're working on so you can afford to pay for the next generation of whatever it is. And in this case, it's the next generation of aircraft. As a matter of fact, I think it's a unique opportunity. You know, just like the airlines did several years ago, it was largely government-funded research that made tremendous breakthroughs in aerospace, only to hand it over to commercial companies in the form of airlines. You know, the government has made tremendous strides in getting to low Earth orbit, and we're going to hand that technology over to commercial providers, and perhaps one day we'll have space line companies.
This is Leo Enright for Irish Radio's Today with Pat Kenny program. A lot of Europeans have flown on the space shuttle, but sadly, no Irish. So a lot of our younger listeners will be worried now. Will they ever now have an opportunity to fly in space? Do you have any reassurance for them?
Well, actually, I'm a fair amount Irish, and I'm up here today. So, you know, we'll call that good enough for now, and I guarantee you there'll be an Irishman on board a spacecraft in the not-too-distant future. So I don't think they have anything to worry about, and I think they should, if they're interested in space flight, to just continue to study hard, and you never know what would come next.
Marcia Dunn, Associated Press, with another question for Commander Ferguson. Back in Houston, you described for me the overwhelming sensation that shuttle crews get when they pause at the base of the pad on launch day and look up at the ship. I'm wondering, can you tell me what that moment was like for you last Friday when you looked up at Atlantis, knowing that's the last shuttle launch?
Well, I'll tell you, Marcia, it is that is one trip that every shuttle crew has to make, and I think I speak for everyone who has ever flown on a space shuttle to stand there poised at the bottom of a living, breathing vehicle, and it's literally raining off the side of the external tank because of the condensation that forms from the extremely cold cryogenic fuels. It's wheezing, it's hissing, it's moaning. You look up at it, and I remember my first commander looked at me and he said, "Do you believe they're going to let us take this thing into space?" And with every subsequent crew I've been on, I've tried to share that same reflection with my crew. It's incredibly awe-inspiring, and just like the pictures that you see the next day in the photograph, it's just incredibly surreal to stand there and look up at it and know that in a matter of hours it's going to be orbiting the Earth.
Good morning, Peter King with CBS News Radio, and this is for Ron Guerin. I've enjoyed following your tweets. I'm wondering, since you're staying behind, what's the best place on station to watch the undocking and fly around, and do you expect a food fight for the best view?
Well, we're going to do something a little different this time. Our fly around is going to be a little different, so I think we're going to have some good views in some of the modules in the Russian segment that have horizon-facing windows, so I think that'll be the best bet. And there's a few of those, so we'll take turns if there's a conflict.
Hi, it's James Dean from Florida Today. Another question for Ron. This is the last time, I guess, in a very long time, we'll see a crowd this big on the station. Although you'll continue to fly there for many years to come, will it seem a little bit smaller, a little less fun, perhaps, when you don't get these occasional visitors?
Well, I think it will seem a little bit smaller, actually, because all the tons of cargo that have arrived from Atlantis have filled this place up. So there's a lot less room for us humans. So, but that is really, really important because, you know, we are outfitting this station to function for the rest of the decade, and Atlantis has really set us on the pace for doing that. So, and we're going to miss these guys a lot. It's been really wonderful having them up here. It is nice to have visitors, and especially great visitors like these guys are. And you know, it'll be sad when that stops, but. You know, we're going to continue on. This place is amazing, and it's going to continue to function, continue to be utilized in great part because of the great mission so far that these guys have conducted.
Hi, it's Bill Harwood, CBS News, with a question for, I think, Sergei Volkov, if I could. Sergei, you've heard the U.S. reporters ask U.S. astronauts about the end of the shuttle and what might come next. What do the Russians think about that when you guys talk about it, the end of the shuttle and this gap that's coming up and NASA's reliance on Russia for transportation? What do you guys think about that? Thanks.
For us, it's also very sad that no more shuttles will appear on board the station, because thanks to this brilliant machine, we were able to build this station so big and ready to have 6-person crew. Of course, we would like to continue to fly with our friends, and Soyuz are ready to continue this exploration of space and low orbits.
David Waters from spaceflightnow.com. At the beginning of the shuttle program, it was John Young and Bob Crippen. That was one end of the bookend. You're the last shuttle crew to go up. Kind of bookend this for us and tell us, for people listening to this, how you want people to look back at the shuttle program. That one for Chris Ferguson, please.
Well, you know, the shuttle is several milestones over the course of its 30. They have to live it through the pictures and the images and the stories that the astronauts bring home. They don't get to see it and touch it and feel it like we do vehicles that go up and down like the space shuttle. So, it's a sobering moment. But at the same time, we're incredibly overjoyed to just have had the space shuttle for 30 years and to know that we had this ability to go to low Earth orbit, and we're so much more comfortable here than we were just a short time ago. And we hope that that continues on to our commercial spaceflight partners.
And Chris, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but we lost your video downlink for the first 30 seconds of that answer. So if you could just start that part again and just tell us, when we look back at the 30 years of these, I thought it was you didn't like my question, but anyway, when we look back at the 30 years of the space shuttle program, what do you want people to remember about the program?
Well, yeah, we don't have the fade to black switch up here. I wish we did sometimes. But, of course, we have the International Space Station to look back upon. If it weren't for the space shuttle, the station wouldn't be here, and it certainly wouldn't be as large as it is. It's that large payload bay that's in the space shuttle that allows the large diameter that you see around us. It allows us to sit five across in here. If it wasn't for the space shuttle, we wouldn't be doing anything like that. Of course, there's also the tremendous observatories that the shuttle has launched throughout its years. Hubble Space Telescope, Compton Gamma Ray, the Chandra X-ray Space Telescope. Plus, the space shuttle has really, I don't want to say we have command of low Earth orbit. We're so much more comfortable here, living and working day in and day out. And we'll look back at the space shuttle as a vehicle that just gave us regular access, and it opened up low Earth orbit so that we can go beyond and we can learn how to live in areas perhaps in lunar orbit or lunar surface or on an asteroid.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes questions from the Kennedy Space Center. Please stand by for a voice check from NASA Headquarters PAO.
Atlantis ISS, this is NASA Headquarters PAO. How do you read me?
We have you loud and clear on the International Space Station.
Hi, Suzanne Presto from VOA. Ron, can you tell us a bit more about your science activities on station, particularly any experiments you've been working on that will be coming back down on shuttle? Thank you.
Well, that would take a long time to answer. We have been doing a lot of science on board, and as far as I know, I think the only there's a lot of human research where we're kind of the subjects, and there's a lot of that science that's going to go down on the shuttle. We also have some spiders on board right now that are being studied, and they are going down on the shuttle as well. But we've been conducting experiments, fluid experiments, protein crystal growth experiments, plant growth experiments, experiments with the human body and the function of the human body, looking at things like how to combat osteoporosis. So there's quite a bit of science going on board. Combustion science we've been doing as well. So we are at the beginning of full utilization of this amazing research facility.
Keith Cowling, NASAWatch.com for Chris Ferguson. This is the last shuttle mission, so most of you are probably not going to get to fly again, or at least not for a few years. And that said, I have to say, it must be a little tiring for you as you try and plan a career and stay motivated. You must be like a tennis ball at times, especially when the White House proposes a policy, Congress cuts it, and so forth, and it goes in a circle, and we pretty much don't go much of anywhere. As we speak, you're floating off planet on the edge of tomorrow, literally. That certainly offers you a unique perspective and the ability to be heard. What is it that we should be doing, really should be doing, to explore space? What should our policymakers in Washington be doing? What should they stop doing? And I guess, should we be boldly going somewhere or just continue to waste time doing this in PowerPoint? What would you say? You're going to talk to the president in like an hour and a half or so. If you really wanted to say one thing to him, what is it that you would say to move forward the whole notion of exploring space for real?
Hey, well, hello, Keith, first of all, and thanks for the question. Boy, I'll tell you, I do share a little bit of your frustration. We've had a lot of major programs, vibrant and very interesting programs, come and go at NASA without coming to, you know, fruition. And a lot of that is it's politics-driven, a lot of it is funding-driven, a lot of it is due to dynamic events like, for example, the loss of Columbia. These are certainly things, you know, some of them are clearly out of our control. And to answer your question, if there's one thing that we could do to focus, if you will, efforts, it's to just appeal to Congress to focus on the long term. You know, look at the horizon. Don't look 1 or 2 years in the future, but look at 10 years and see where you want this nation to be. And I understand that the president has a space policy, and I think that that's fantastic, but we need to retain a coherent, meaningful space policy that will take us more than just 1 or 2 years in the future, that will take us out to 10 and 15 years, you know, a decadal plan, if you will, of where we want this nation to go in space, and make it a law to follow it so that, you know, perhaps congressional representatives, senators, presidential administrations are obliged to follow the policy that this nation set forth so we can chart out something that's 10 or 15 years in a destination and not just 1 or 2.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes questions from NASA headquarters. Please stand by for a voice check from Marshall Space Flight Center, PAO.
Atlantis ISS, this is Marshall Space Flight Center, PAO. How do you hear me?
We have you loud and clear.
Hi, my name is Ricky Klaus from WHNT News 19, and I wanted to ask, much of the world was watching as you guys skyrocketed into space, excited, you know, loving to see you. What was going through your heads when that was happening?
Well, there's a lot of emotions going through your mind. A space shuttle launch is a very interesting experience. It's kind of like the year prior to the launch, you're preparing for the Super Bowl, but you don't know exactly what day the Super Bowl is. So you get all prepared, and even on the day of your scheduled launch, you're looking at the weather, thinking, are we going to go? Aren't we going to go? And on this launch, it was no different. We had a 70% chance of not going, but we got to prepare as if we're going. And you walk out there and you look at this amazing vehicle on the launch pad, nothing comes to your mind but wow. And you get up there and strap in, and you're still waiting, and you never know for sure whether you're going until at the last second, because we had a hold at 31 seconds, and we're going, oh no, now what? And the funny thing about that is they picked up the count, and all of a sudden it was like, ready, set, go, and bam, we were off to the races, and we were getting shot off the planet, and it was just absolutely amazing. So the whole ride up, you get your big wide-eyed and just experiencing all the thrill of the G's and also the incredible sights and sounds you hear.
With Way 31 in Huntsville, you guys are part of a very exclusive club on the last shuttle mission. What are some of the moments that you're relishing the most right now?
Well, I think we're all relishing just the fact that we're in space again. We're able to float around. We're here on the space station working with the space station crew, just living in this environment and working hard to make this a better place to live and to sustain it for the next year. It really is special being up here, and whenever we're up here, we just try and savor that as much as we can, whether you're on your first shuttle mission, your second shuttle mission, or this, the last shuttle mission.
My name is Monica Ricks. I'm with WAFF out of the Rocket City. And Sandy, I've been admiring your hair all morning. And this question is for you, too. This is your second time up at the ISS. tell me the changes that have gone through the space station and how it looks now. And also, you've got 6 days left before some crew members leave. Is there anything you want to do before you fly back?
Well, certainly the space station feels a lot like home. The minute we opened the hatch, I felt like I'd never left. But in the meantime, that since I'd been here 2 years ago, several new modules have arrived, the most enjoyable one of which is the cupola, which is this very nice windowed module that we can see these spectacular views of the Earth. So almost after a couple hours after we docked and we had a break, we all ran up to the cupola to see the view from there. So the station, you know, it's the same, but yet it's different in some ways. A lot of the operations are still the same. These guys are taking great care of it. As far as the remaining time of the mission, we're going to finish out our transfer, and hopefully we'll get that done a little bit early, and we'll have some time to spend in the cupola and at some of the other windows and just with our station colleagues and share some memories before we have to leave.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes questions from the Marshall Space Flight Center. We will rejoin you after a brief comm dropout. Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. Back with you. Please stand by for a voice check from the Ames Research Center.
Atlantis ISS, this is Ames Research Center PAO. How do you hear me?
We have you loud and clear at Ames. It's going to take us about another 30 seconds or so to get all set in the camera view for you. That was probably the most entertaining thing you'll see all day. So,
can I go? Good morning. This is Bob Rebell. I'm with NBC Bay Area, the home market of Rex Walheim. So my question is for you, Rex. What are your thoughts on the shuttle program coming to an end? What do you think its legacy is going to be? And most importantly, were you able to spot San Carlos, your hometown, from outer space?
Well, to answer the first one, we did have a pass over California just in time, actually, as I was having a family conference, private family conference, the only one we have during the mission, with my wife and two boys. And so I had a chance to see us coming over California. The Bay Area was a little bit foggy, so I couldn't quite see San Francisco, but it was spectacular to see the Central Valley and some of Southern California, a little bit of Northern California. The shuttle's legacy, as far as that goes, number one, it sent probes to different planets. It launched probes. It launched great observatories like the Hubble Space Telescope. And then the crown jewel of the space shuttle program is it helped to build this magnificent International Space Station that we're on right now. It wouldn't be the size of the magnitude without the space shuttle. And the space shuttle's had a storied 30-year career, but what I like to think is that space shuttle's legacy lives on. Hubble will still be taking pictures. Our crewmates here will still be doing research on the International Space Station, and that's all a legacy of the shuttle, which will continue to live on. And for the future, I'm hoping that as the shuttle's retired, that money that we would be spending on the shuttle is available to not only continue the International Space Station research, but to go beyond. We need to get back in the exploration business where we're going to an asteroid or the moon or to Mars.
Good morning. This is Matt Bigler, KCBS Radio, and this is a question for Rex or whoever would like to field it. And we're speaking to you from Silicon Valley, the home of Google and Facebook and things like social media and the iPhone. And my question is, what effect do you think that some of these high-tech innovations have had on America's interest in space travel and our ability to explore the final frontier?
Well, I think that technology it has an inherent interest, and people just take an inherent interest in it. And I think Silicon Valley is the genesis of a lot of the technology we use here on the space station. So I really do think it plays a very important role from inspiring grade school kids to actually providing the science that we need to do our research here. And I think that's going to always keep people curious, and curiosity is a very important thing that you need to be able to develop a space program and then develop a good research program that can really pay incredible dividends here in space.
Hi, this is Jane Lee with the San Jose Mercury News, and this question is for Rex Welheim. I was wondering what you felt when you found out that you were going to be on the last shuttle mission.
Well, I think like most of us, I was very honored. It was so great to get a chance to fly in space again. I wasn't sure, none of us were really sure we were ever going to get a chance because they had assigned the last mission. And so we thought, well, our chance had gone by. It's kind of like being at Disneyland and the ride closing just before you get to the front of the line. But then they added a new flight, and we were kind of getting close to the front, and we were very, very fortunate enough to be entrusted to fly on this mission, and I was extremely overjoyed to get a chance to come here again. It's an amazing place up here in the space station.
Good morning. Alan Sayer with KFTL TV 28, and this also is for Rex, our hometown representative. Rex, I'd like to know how your many contributions to the shuttle and the ISS programs, as well as the magnificent views of Earth and the stars from your vantage point, how have all these helped shape you as a person and have led you to ponder humankind's place in the cosmos?
Well, it is an absolutely amazing creation looking out on the Earth, and there's just you can't describe it. And we're all trying to continue to this exploration of space, and one of the things we want to do is make it more accessible to everyday people, to get everybody a chance to come in space one day, because it changes your perspective. Look at us here. We have 10 people from 3 different countries. We have Americans, Russians, and a Japanese astronaut, and we're all working together. We live together, work together, solve problems together, laugh together, and it's just an amazing camaraderie, and we're one big team, and we execute the plan as one big team. And you look down at the Earth, that's just one big planet. We're all in together. And I think the more people we get up here to see that perspective, the better off we'll be.
Hi, my name is Jade Hernandez. I'm with KTVU, Channel 2 News. It's the Fox affiliate. My question is for Mission Specialist Rex Welheim. Rex, tell me, students from all over will get a chance to see you in space. What do you have to tell them? How do you inspire them to look to the future? How do they get in space?
Well, for me, what I tell them is number one, work hard, especially in math and science, and number two, have persistence, because as hard as you work, it's going to take some persistence. Because I can remember as a kid sitting in my backyard in San Carlos looking up at the airplanes that were circling around to go land in San Francisco and thinking, wow, I hope I get a chance to fly someday. And to be right here with my crewmates, and we're flying over the Earth at 200 miles up at 17,500 miles an hour, it's really a dream come true. And it's another, I mean, just the simple things like floating and flying in zero gravity is just absolutely amazing. Everybody dreams about the dreams where you can fly, and here you can actually do it. So it's absolutely amazing, and your dreams really can come true.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes questions from Ames Research Center. Please stand by for a voice check from JAXA PAO.
Atlantis ISS, this is JAXA PAO. How do you hear me?
We read you loud and clear. How me?
Kobayashi from NTV. I have a question to Mr. Furukawa, Dr. Furukawa. Well, the ISS, which everyone is on board, I believe that the space shuttle has made major contribution to building the ISS. And also, the shuttle has continued to carry the Japanese astronauts. And the space shuttle will be ending and retiring this time. What is your feeling about the retirement of the space shuttle?
Hi.
Space shuttle is what about hopes, dreams, and also a challenging future to Japan as well as the Japanese people. And for the Japanese astronauts who are on board the ISS, I believe that the fact that I personally was able to welcome the crew on board the last space shuttle was something of a great honor for me. It is regretful that the space shuttle will be retiring, but I believe that this is a step towards the future programs. It will be a new starting point for future programs. I think that the U.S. And American colleagues have a challenging spirit, and I respect them very much for that challenging spirit. My name is Saito from NBS. I have a question to astronaut Furukawa. Well, I'm reading your Twitter messages all the time. Well, you've said that you're going accustomed to zero gravity. And have you experienced any changes in your physical condition or your mental condition, something interesting? And also, could you talk about it from a doctor's perspective as well as an individual's perspective? It's very difficult to make a distinction there, but what I feel interesting is that my senses, how I feel. Well, the feeling of being vertical or horizontal. Now, where your legs are located, feel like it's the floor. And if you change your posture, then that place where your feet are located feel like the floor. So I think that when we say the upside and downside, it's just for the sake of convenience. In outer space, I think it's just in relative terms that you feel that you are upside down or the other way around. Haruno from NHK, astronaut Furukawa. Another thing about the shuttle. Well, it was a tough. The Soyuz. You've flown the Soyuz, but don't you wish that you had been on board the shuttle? Thank you for that very good question. Of course, in order to become a mission specialist, I had to go harsh training, and I wish I had been able to travel on the shuttle, but not everything goes as you wish in life. At present, I'm very satisfied because there are three reasons for this. First, is that the Soyuz is a very highly reliable Russian air-based vehicle, and I was able to board the Soyuz and arrive at the ISS and to make contributions to the ISS activities. And the second is that I, as a astronaut, was able to welcome the last crew on board the space shuttle and also the space shuttle Atlantis. I believe that I was the first to encounter Atlantis. And also, Chris Bagasov, commander, has made my wish come true. And he let me sit in his commander's seat and take a photo. So that was a wish come true.
I'm Komiyama of Asahi Shimbun News. Question to Ms. Dr. Furukawa. This is about the month since you have left the ground, and probably you have opportunity to look at the disaster hit area from IS. If you have any message to those people who had been impacted by the disaster, could you please ask the message? I personally traveled to Tohoku area when I was a high school student, and I was very moved by those people, very friendly people there. So I have very good memories of visiting there, and 4 months have passed, but I believe that things were very difficult for them. That's what I can say. If we continue to do what you can do today, tomorrow would be better than today. And also, all the colleagues from here, from the U.S. and Russia, everyone very much concerned. They give good wishes, and not only U.S. and Russia, but all the people in the world cheering up and trying to be in support. So I hope that keep on trying, Japan. This is a question to Mr. Furukawa again from Yomiuri newspaper. You had worked very hard for the last 12 years, and you finally came to the space. And did you encounter anything that you didn't expect in space? Well, as I have been trained. However, one thing that I was surprised was that the things do not stay on surface because if it is on the ground, if we put something of objects on people, it will stay there, but it will flow out. So here we use Velcro to try to fix them on the surface. Sometimes they float. So that was rather things that I was not trained enough in on the Earth, so I'm learning it in situ here. I'm Oe from Uchu News, Space News from TV Tokyo. You earlier mentioned that, but I understand that you visited the space shuttle to hear wake-up call. So you are now in space and you visited space shuttle. And how did you feel listening to wake-up call by Elton John, I understand? How did you feel about it? Well, when I went into space shuttle, I felt that it was really looks like a training space shuttle in Houston, so it's made very well, and it's not actually very much like a training facility in Houston. So it was exactly the same environment as I had been trained in Houston. I was very moved to hear the wake-up call music by Elton John. I would like to hear about World Cup, ladies, women's World Cup, and you have a lot of American, U.S. friends around here, but what do you think is the result and score in the World Cup final? Well, it might be difficult to answer to your question in this environment, but what I can say is that all the athletes, supporters, all the people who are concerned there, I hope that everyone would do their best. That's my wish.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes the event.
Thank you, media at Johnson Space Center, Kennedy Space Center, NASA Headquarters, Marshall Space Flight Center, Ames Research Center, and in Japan. Atlantis ISS, we are now resuming operational audio communications.